Hello everybody, this is chapter 7 which I'll be covering today, which is titled as motivation, the application part of it. In the earlier chapter 6 I covered motivation, what it means, what are the various processes, the theories of motivation, etc. Here we are going to be talking about how this motivation is applied in different forms in industry, in corporate world. So let's go along with the topics covered under this section. It starts with the introduction as usual. Then we have the job design, management objectives, management by objectives MBO, sound salary administration, employee participation and empowerment, group interaction, quality circle QC, quality of work life. So let's start with the introduction. It starts off by saying motivation factors vary across countries. It's a fact, it varies across not only countries but also cultures within the country. Take a case of India. You know, within India itself, when you go from west to east and from north to south, you'll find state wise, within the state itself, you'll find that the motivation factors keep varying. If you're in urban India, in metro cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Kolkata or Chennai, Bangalore, etc., you'll find that the motivational factors are different. So, it is related to the social conditions prevailing there, the social values in the particular area. Right? So, a few examples of countries have been given on the slide. In India, security, salary, benefits and achievement are the motivating factors by and large. In the USA, we have interesting job. Jobs have to be interesting there. Then people stay on. It's achievement oriented. And advancement in the careers is also expected. That motivates people. In China, it's achievement again, use of ability and skills, highly skill based, and esteem, self-esteem, that matters as a motivation. In Germany, the job has to be interesting and meaningful work has to be done. In Korea, it's achievement again, security of the job and interesting jobs to be given to them. These are some of the indicators. They are not totally 100% foolproof. They keep varying with the changes in time. Today when India and other countries have become global, you'll find that these are no more the motivating factors. Other motivating factors are also coming up here. But this is we need to start a discussion with some base. So here we are, right? Now we take it further. We talk about what a topic called job design. As the name indicates, it's about the process of creating the content of a job. What's a job? A job is a set of activities to be done. Job J is equal to A1 plus A2 plus A3 plus A4. So I am presently assigned the job of taking this video lecture, J. So I have to build up this job through activities A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H or A1, A2, A3, A4 and so on. So activity will be what? Reading the book, going through the PPTs, editing them for spelling mistakes, etc., etc., if any. Okay, one activity where I need to know what I'm going to be speaking. Second activity will be preparing myself mentally for going with the flow. Third activity may be coming here on time so that I'm there in the studio for taking this work. And so on and so forth. These are these activities that are expected for this job. Now these activities have to be designed. They are created in such a way that the job becomes very exciting to be done at the human factors, and also it is done for the purpose for which the job has to be done. So there is an organizational requirement and there is also an individual requirement. So when both are met together, the job is designed. If the job is not designed, how will it look? I'm told that this is the video shoot you're supposed to do. Here are the slides. Go and get it done ASAP. It should be done in 3 days, 2 days, whatever. Now here, the organizational need is that they want it urgently. And in this case, it's clearly implied that really your individual needs are not taken into account. No time for preparing, no time for doing anything. Completely it is disregarded. So this is not a job design. This is just a job given to you. When you design a job, you are taking into account the human elements as well as the organization elements. Now this is one of the ways in which the motivation is shown in application in organizations. How is the process of job design? It has to start from what activity needs to be done to achieve organization goals. Very simple. Use techniques such as work study, process planning, organization methods, and organization analysis. Work study, process planning, and all you'll be studying in principles of management. Now let me explain to you what it is. When a certain job is to be done, we study the job. What are the different steps to do the job? What are the different activities that need to be done to complete the job from start to finish? And after studying that, we also study how much of time is required, how much of effort is required by an average person. There'll be the people who are highly efficient who will do it faster. There'll be the people who are not so efficient, they'll be doing it very slow. But there's an average person we study by observing this at the work where people are working. This comes under a study called industrial engineering. So after studying the way the work is being done, we try to do what is called a standardization of the task, of the activity. So this particular task should take, by an average person, so many minutes. The other task should take about, say, so many minutes. So this is standardized. Now the purpose of standardization is not to make people fit into that and do only that. It is just to give an idea that an average person can do the job in this much time. There may be somebody who may do it at a lesser time, but there may be somebody who may do it at a longer time. Now one point to be noted is that people who do it at a longer time or people who do it at a shorter time is not the focus. The focus is an average person can churn out this quality of work at this time. The quality is one of the important aspects to be understood, which we'll be talking down the line in this particular chapter. So work study is one. Next is we do the process planning. Process, as all of you know, are the various steps that take us towards a goal. So how do I plan it? Have I seen the process properly? Is there any process that becomes a critical process which needs to be properly, carefully defined? So that aspect of it is studied. Then comes organization methods. How are the organizations having their own ways of operating, by and large, within the office, within the factory? What sort of methods do they adopt in dealing with people? Methods in logistics, all those aspects are studied. Organization analysis, analyzing the organization in various aspects, the way it has grown, the way it is relating with people, the way the succession plan takes place. So it's a detailed study about how the organization takes place in terms of growth and other things. So these techniques are some of the techniques that are used for designing the job. Now, having got all these things, what do? We have a rich data with us, historical data. And with this data, we try to ask ourselves a question. Look, this is what I have with me. Now, I need to improve. I need to go here. So I need to design my goals in such a way that it is coming through both the paths, meeting the organization requirements as well as taking care of the human beings who are working there, so that they don't feel stressed out and they don't feel switched out. It needs to consider the human motivation to do the task. That's what we have just said. Scientifically structured job design motivates employees. Now, when you say scientifically structured, whenever we talk about process, there are quite a few people I know who design their personal life very scientifically. Getting up in the morning at so and so time. I'm not talking about timetable. Timetable is slightly different. Scientific means anything scientific has got a cause and effect principle. Cause and effect. So if I'm getting up in the morning, let's say at 5:30, and I structure my day scientifically, 5:30 I get up and I go for my jog at 5:45, and 5:45 to, let's say, 6:45, I do my jog and my whatever meditation or something, and I come back. Now this 1 hour I spent in the morning jog and yoga has to actually come out with a benefit. Now, in a time management, what people do is they put everything in a time, and whether the time management is benefiting them is not known by many people. One of the biggest pitfalls about time management is if it is not done scientifically, which is the purpose of the time management should be having the cause effect. If I'm structuring 1 hour for doing a job, it should really yield the results. See, no point in giving a time management wherein it doesn't yield results. Then you're stressed out. That's what happens to most people. scientific structuring, and with the scientific structuring, if you put a time management, it is awesome. So scientifically structured job designs motivates employees. When you give me 1 hour scientifically structured to do a job, and I do it, an average person will definitely feel motivated to do the job and produce results. Rather than structuring it, saying that this has to be done in half an hour or 1 hour, and the job has not been properly designed, not properly not analyzed, and you're just thrown into the 10 feet water. That's one way of developing skills, no doubt. But here we are discussing about how job design happens. Right? Job design options should be structured to satisfy the needs of the employees, such as accomplishment, recognition, growth, etc. Job design options include job rotation, job enlargement, and job enrichment. By job rotation, what do we mean? Within the same department where you're working, there are different functions. So you are rotated into different functions so that you learn the variety of the jobs to be done within the same department. Job enlargement means the number of activities in a job, I start increasing it. That becomes a motivation. It removes boredom, and it also enhances your knowledge base and your skills base. Young people who are joining organizations at the entry level, they love job enlargement. And that acts as a big motivation. Because when you give them a set of tasks to be done, and they do the job, after some time they get bored very quickly. And so enlarging the job is one of the ways in which youngsters are motivated to stay in organization. Job enrichment means the quality of the job that you're doing, we add a variety and we add certain amount of fun element, certain amount of ambience, some colorful, very nice ambience, we put some music is put, or the assembly line will have some music, or it will have some sort of a pop-up type of arrangement, if it's a assembly or a sub-assembly component. There are different ways in which it becomes enriched. Enriching means when I do the job, I feel like doing it because there's a certain amount of variety added. The monotony is broken. Like I told you in the earlier module on motivation, people are not motivated throughout the day. So there comes a time when people are bored, they go up and down in the motivation ladder. And so to see that does not happen by and large, these are some of the job design things which we are talking about right here. Right? Employee recognition programs are very common, praising and rewarding employees for performance, providing long-term job security, providing salary increment benefits, inviting employee and family to company functions, honoring outstanding employees for accomplishment. The list is long. Some of them are given here. Then we talk about management by objectives. This is a thing which we have already spoken in some other context. What is management objectives? Rewarding a behavior with recognition immediately following behavior encourages repetition. If you've done something today and I immediately reward you, it goes a long way. But see how certain companies do it. There's an excellent accomplishment you've done today, heartbreaking accomplishment, and you have to wait for 6 months for a reward ceremony. Now, between now and that 6 months, things can go differently. So they always say, when a behavior has been the way I wanted, immediately reward the behavior, don't wait. And when you reward it, the brain, the body, the mind, the person starts following more and more such behavior and produce results. It reinforces the behavior. So MBO is a well-designed process through which both the organization and the employee benefit without any push or pull. Now, what does MBO involve? It involves clear-cut objectives communicated and understood by all. As the name indicates, it's management by objectives. Objectives are nothing but they are one step before the actual goal achievement. There are 5 steps to the goal achievement. It starts with a vision. Next comes a mission or the mission statement. Next comes a strategy. Then comes the objective. And last is a goal. Vision is something which I have. It's a dream with a passion and an urgency to act. My definition of vision is it's a dream with an urgency to act, and it's also got a passion. So visionaries are always in a tearing hurry to make the vision happen into reality. But it's all there in the mind, you know. So they have to put it out in the form of some articulate matter so that people understand it. So they make some words and statements, and from there comes a mission statement. There are several models to understanding this. I'm giving you one model. So the mission statement said, this is my vision, this is what we need to do. And then comes the action step and the time frame strategy, which is all about long-term plans, long-term activities to be done, long-term mobilization of resources, etc. So strategy comes in. There are three time frames: long-term, medium-term and short-term strategies. So after that is chalked out, we have to go to the next step called objectives. In the objectives, what are we doing? We are giving two things: purpose and direction to the goal. Purpose and direction to the goal. There's a major difference. If I go straight away from strategy to goal, if I do not give you direction and purpose, you'll accomplish the goal, but you won't be employee engaged. You won't be totally with the goal in terms of your emotions, in terms of your involvement. So objective is important. Objective gives that, infuses the human element into the goal achievement. And hence, MBO is a very clear-cut objective communicated and understood by all. That's to be very clearly. Why am I doing this? What's the purpose of doing this? In what direction will this take us? So everybody is very clearly communicated in simple wording so that everybody has understood it. It is actually checked and cross-checked. The employee is involved in the whole process. Setting up of individual goals and organization goals. So every individual has to set up his individual goal as well as his organization goal. Individual goal is what I want to do as a human being by working here. Organization goal is what the company wants out of me having employed me. Now we work for two goals, individual goals as well as organization goals. So now this is validated in this particular model. There is no other model which talks about individual goals. This says, ask the person, what are your individual goals also? Because all of us will agree that individual goals motivate organization goals to be achieved. If I want to buy an apartment and that's been my individual goal, then I will work very hard towards organization goals which is allocated to me so that I buy the apartment, right? So individual goals are and organization goals are connected with each other. Informal trusted interaction between senior and subordinate is another aspect of MBO. Informal, underline, trusted, underline, interaction between senior and subordinate. And the best part of it is both of them set goals and communicate to each other. Usually what happens, the junior sets the goal and communicates to the senior. The senior doesn't do that to the junior. But in this case, the senior puts his individual goal and organization goals to the junior. And the junior also does the same thing with the senior. And they have an informal trusted interaction. What's the purpose of senior putting his goals to the junior? Ultimately, the junior's goal is related to the senior's goal. If the senior has to attain his individual goals and organization goals, and that's clear to the junior also, so both of them start working with trust and with synergy with each other. Next comes goal modification. Goal modification, goal achievement, enabling employees to satisfy social and esteem goals. So there is a goal to be achieved, and the goal needs to be slightly modified, not changed. So I need to do this way instead of that way. Now this gives a direction, the direction I talked about in objectives. And goal achievement, enabling employee to satisfy social and esteem needs, which we talked about in the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now we come to sound salary administration. Objectives of wage and salary administration. What is this? This is a very important aspect of dealing with people. An organization has to handle this very well. It should be very sound. It should satisfy all the needs of the organization, the needs of the people, and it should be motivating for people. So now in this, what are we talking about? Objectives of the wages and salary administration includes acquire qualified personnel. Employee retention. Retaining people, see that they don't leave the organization. Ensure internal and external equity. Control cost. Comply with the legal regulations. Improve administrative efficiency. Now, wages and salary administration is a part of it's two departments, two functions are interfacing with that. The HR people at the same time the finance people. Now, wages and salary administration, one of the principal functions done by them is to set at what level, what sort of wages, what sort of remuneration has to be paid. If I want to get people to get motivated in my company, I need to have qualified personnel. Now, qualification is not about only graduation and post-graduation. Qualified people means people who are having skills, who are capable of doing the job. So the wage and the salary is administered in such a way that it attracts such people so that they are motivated to come to you. It is again structured in such a way that the employees are retained so that you have a competitive edge over your employees leaving your company and not going to the other competitor. Ensures internal and external equity. External is all about the other companies in the same industry. Internal is inside. So there has to be what is called as a parity. There is usually a, what is called as a remuneration band, which is there in every industry. What is the remuneration band? There's a highest that is paid by one company and the lowest paid by another company in the same industry. So in that band, most of the companies put their wages and salary structures. So we have to follow that particular band, and every industry has got its own band in which they operate. Right? It is to control cost, comply with the legal regulations, and improve administrative efficiency. Salary administration is complex as many employee management problems are related to wages, and also because remuneration is the largest component of cost of production. If you take the whole production or any function, if you take the major budgeting is for the salary part of it, of the employees. And it's a very sensitive thing, because with the salary, the man starts living his dreams. It is for salary that he is living at the end of the day. And if it is not proper to his liking, if he is not satisfied, things can go wrong. So one of the areas where a lot of emphasis is being made by every organization across the world is to see that the salary administration is properly done. There has to be motivation in terms of giving them attractive packages. Today salaries are going through the roof. Very well people are being paid because this is considered to be one of the greatest motivators. But it has its own pitfalls also. It influences survival and growth of the organization. The better packages, the better my salary administration is taken care of, I will have a better way of having things happening to my company. More people will be there. They'll be retained. They'll feel motivated. The influence of remuneration over distribution of income, consumption, savings, employment, and prices is significant. So the way I am remunerating my employees, they will be able to use the income in a proper way, and they will be able to actually be able to run their homes and their lives in a much better way. So it matters. Okay. Principle of salary plans should be flexible, means salaries are always dynamic in nature, because every year, as all of us know, there is a price index. The price of commodities keep increasing or decreasing, whatever. In most cases, it has been increasing in India. And then the salary has to be flexible and has to keep going up. So there are certain correctors like, you know, dearness allowance and so many things are there. So it should be flexible. They should be consistent with organization plans. Organization has got some plans. So per employee, they would like to pay so much to get this much amount of output. So there is a plan. On that basis, it should be consistent. Salary plan should conform to be in line with social and economic objectives of the company. Social is all about people. Economic is about the company's top line, bottom line, the sales and the profits. They should be responsive to changing local and national conditions. When things change locally, price index, as I told you, goes up, or national conditions change, some, you know, new industry is coming in and your industry is having some issues, then it should actually have its own flexibility. It depends on the job market also. At certain points of time during the year, certain industries, they go through a slump because there is less of demand for the product or the service. During that time, the number of people who are employed in the company are removed. They are retrenched. They are given the golden handshake, or they are asked to go for some time only to come back later. And then there are other times when I need more people, so I have to draw people. So depending upon the demand supply of manpower, with the changing times and the cycle of business, your people would be coming in and going out. So how to maintain that motivation is again one of the important aspects of salary plans. They should simplify and expedite administrative processes. It should come very fast. In some organizations, salaries are given very late. Sometimes the salary dates are also not very fixed. It comes randomly. It's very dangerous for people to live like that. Okay, in some other organizations, it is so well done. Maybe in the end of the month, The salary is immediately credited to the account of the employee, so it should be properly expedited. What are the elements of salary system? It relating salary to needs and goals. The person's needs and the goals which he achieves, it has to be related to that. So every position in the organization has got a certain salary structure which is already designed, and based on that the salary is disbursed. Developing standards for work and goals. Determining efforts needed to achieve the goals. Measure actual performance. Compare performance with salary received. Measure job satisfaction. There are measurements, there are some studies how to understand job satisfaction. And then evaluating dissatisfaction factors. Adjusting salary to full employee needs. So these are some of the methods by which some of the elements which the salary system is supposed to have. In modern days, some more inputs have come in. And those inputs are actually making a very big difference. Like a variable pay, for everything that you do extra, you're getting paid more. So more motivation to do more things. It has its own backlash, no doubt. But new things have come in addition to what is being discussed here.